gas prices in Australia's southernmost capital have gone from strength to strength, rising to record levels in recent months despite the coronavirus pandemic. After 5 years of strong market activity, Hobart is continuing to outstrip the other capital cities for price growth and is also seeing the steepest rent hikes off the back of an incredibly low vacancy rate. The momentum may build further still, with Tasmania back open for business to almost all states and territories, just in time for its peak holiday season. Joining us today to discuss Tasmania's property market and broader economy is independent economist Saul Eslake. Saul, welcome to Property Unpacked.
Thank you very much for having me, Alice. It's nice to be here.
Now, the Hobart property market has seen some incredible growth in recent years. What's been the key driver of that, Saul?
Well, at the risk of sounding like the economist, which I am, it's a matter of supply and demand. The supply of housing has been constrained in Tasmania for a long time because for a long time, there was virtually no population growth. There was very little income growth, and Tasmania had much higher unemployment and an older population than the rest of the country. So there wasn't much point in builders building large number of homes. And so the supply of housing until very recently in Hobart and in Tasmania more broadly hasn't increased very much. But over the last 5 years or so, there's been a significant pickup in demand because there's been a significant acceleration in Tasmania's population growth. So simple supply and demand has led to this extraordinary increase in Hobart property prices to the point where the average property price in Hobart is now higher than it is in Perth or Adelaide, and not too far away from where it is in Brisbane or Melbourne, which are much bigger cities than Hobart is.
Saul, it's easy to sort of attribute the pandemic to perhaps a heightened interest in Tassie, but obviously Tasmania has been increasingly drawing people from the mainland in recent years pre-pandemic. What was driving that? Was it the trend that people think, I want to go and live my best life down there and the appeal, or was it affordability driving people down there also?
Well, I think there was a combination of factors, Alice. One was that the Tasmanian economy had improved significantly over the last 5 years. I think some other factors that have been part of it have been the change in the image of Tasmania that's been wrought over the last decade, particularly by the opening of Mona, the Museum of Old and New Art, and some of the good restaurants and hotels that have sprung up around that, and the reputation Tasmania's gained for producing some of the best wine and seafood and beef and other fruit and vegetables in the country. You go back 10, 20, 30 years and people on the mainland, you know, would think of Tasmania as being a state that was full of bogans. And there may have been an element of truth in that, I suppose, to be fair. But that image has changed and Tasmania is now seen as a more sophisticated place. I think we punch above our weight in the cultural sphere, and that's certainly drawn a different type of tourist to Tasmania. And some of those tourists, having had their eyes opened to the sort of place Tasmania now is, have thought to themselves, I could live here. Some of the other trends that the pandemic has opened up, such as the capacity to work away from big cities, has probably also contributed. There was undoubtedly a time when housing in Tasmania was perceived as really good value. That gap is obviously closed to some extent because of the significant outperformance of Tasmanian property prices by comparison with the rest of Australia. But, you know, there are still bargains by Melbourne and Sydney standards, at least, if not by, say, Adelaide or Perth standards. And there's the capacity, you know, to buy something that might be a little bit run down and make a dream home out of it here in Tasmania as well. So, yeah, there's a complex range of factors that I think have made people think about Tasmania in a different light from the way they've traditionally done.
Now, Saul, on that note, are you expecting that now we've had the pandemic and we're sort of enduring it, will you expect that to continue for the foreseeable future?
I think there are good reasons for expecting it, Alice. I mean, it's obviously going to be some time before we can see overseas migrants coming back to Tasmania. But certainly when it comes to interstate migration, well, that's actually continued at a reasonable pace, at least through the June quarter, which is the latest data that we have, although that was a period when most of Australia was subject to lockdown restrictions. There were still people moving to Tasmania in the 3 months end of June at not much slower a rate than they had been over the previous 12 months.
It's clearly no longer retirees and older tree changers moving to Tassie. What are the job prospects like for younger Australians moving there, Saul?
Well, there are still some challenges on that front, unfortunately, Alice. And you know, the fact is that Tasmania doesn't have a lot of jobs to offer in sectors like finance and professional services or business services. But in other areas, professionally, you know, doctors, lawyers, accountants, nurses, teachers, plenty of opportunities for people in those professions. And likewise for people with trade skills, you know, we've got a very strong infrastructure and commercial construction pipeline here, as well as unmet demand for housing. There's plenty of jobs on offer for tradies, electricians, plumbers, building workers, those sorts of things. There are jobs in agriculture to be had. There are employment opportunities in tourism-related businesses. There are also, you know, lots of jobs in the public sector as well, and let's not discount the potential attractiveness for someone who's, say, been a state or Commonwealth public servant and looking for an opportunity to deploy similar types of skills in providing public services, but perhaps in a different environment. There are lots of opportunities for that in Tasmania too.
So from an outsider's perspective, it all almost sounds like a place that's too good to be true. How do young Tasmanians feel about the future of their state, particularly ones who are trying to enter the property market, like first home buyers and potentially their parents? How do they feel knowing that how much the state is really evolving and in particularly through the lens the property price is going up so greatly?
Well, I think young Tasmanians are starting to become more optimistic than they've traditionally been, in part because they've seen that there are more opportunities here now than there traditionally have been. It's almost been a rite of passage, especially for Tasmanians who've either acquired a tertiary education or a trade skill, to feel that they've got to go to the mainland in order to use the skills that they've acquired or learnt and make a decent income and have a challenging and personally rewarding career.
But so, Saul, how are those kids going to get, how are they going to afford to buy houses then? You know, those, that younger generation of Tasmanians with the price growth, what it has been, how do they afford, you know, their parents are fine because they've got an asset they can sell on and they can, you know, they're transacting in the same market, but it's the first home buyers that the question lingers on, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And that's starting to become a serious problem in the way that it has been for 25 years in Sydney or Melbourne. You know, Tasmania has the highest home ownership rate in the country, although that's partly because we also have the oldest population on average in the country, and home ownership rates are always higher among older age groups everywhere in Australia than they are among lower age groups. And of course, also because so many people who are in the first home buyer age groups have left Tasmania and pursued their dream on the mainland, where it's more expensive, but they've been able to earn higher incomes typically as well. So, you know, we're now starting to have in Tasmania the sort of conversations about the difficulties potentially confronting young first-time buyers that, you know, people in mainland states have been having around their barbecues and dinner tables for, you know, 20, 30 years. In the same way, we're also starting to see serious conversations in Tasmania about rental affordability because, you know, renting a four-bedroom house or a three-bedroom house in Hobart has now become more expensive not only than in Perth, where rents have been falling for a long time, or Adelaide, but briefly before the pandemic, had been more expensive than Melbourne, which is crazy if you think, you know, here's a city of 240,000 and it costs more to rent a three-bedroom house than it does in a city of what, almost 5 million. Just seems crazy.
Mm. So it's been really fascinating talking to you. Thank you for your time. And it's an interesting state for us to look at because, as with many things in property, there are obviously winners from this situation and some people who will find it a lot more challenging as this market continues to evolve. So thank you for shedding some light on it with us today, Saul Eslake.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Alice. Thank you for having me as part of your series.